भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This evening we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 17, entitled The Divisions of Faith, text numbers 5 through 6. Lalita, somebody's going to translate for you? Yeah, I think Vinata there. Ashastra Vihitam Gauram Tapyante Ye Tapo Janaha Dambahankara Sanyuktaha Kama Raga Balanvitaha Ashastra vihitam gauram Tapyante yetapo janaha Dambha hankara sanyukta Kamaraga balanvitaha Karsayantaha Sharira Stam Bhuta Gramam Achetasaha Mam Chaivantaha Sharira Stam Tan Vidhi Asura Nischayan Karshanta Sharirastam Bhutagrama Machetasa Mam Chaivanta Sharirastam Tan Vidyasura Nischayan Ashastra vihitam gauram Tapyante yetapo janaha Dambhahankara sanyukta Kamaraga balanvitaha Karsayanta sharirastam Bhutagrama machetasaha Mam chaivanta sharirastam Tan vidyasura nischayan Ashastra Not in the scriptures Vihitam Directed Ghoram Harmful to others. Tapyante. Undergo. Ye. Those who. Tapaha. Austerities. Janaha. Persons. Dhamba. With pride. Ahankara. And egoism. Sanyuktaha, engaged, kama, of lust, raga, and attachment, bala, by the force, anvitaha, impelled, karshayantaha, tormenting, Shariratam, situated within the body. Bhutagramam, the combination of material elements. Achetasaha, having a misled mentality. Mam, me. Cha, also. Eva, certainly. Antaha, within. Sharirastam, situated in the body. Tan, them. Vidhi, understand. Asura nischayan, demons. Translation. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Responsibly, everyone, please repeat. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the super soul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There are persons who manufacture modes of austerity and penance which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions. For instance, fasting for some ulterior purpose, such as to promote a purely political end, is not recommended in the scriptural directions. The scriptures recommend fasting for spiritual advancement, not for some political end or social purpose. Persons who take to such austerities are, according to Bhagavad Gita, certainly demoniac. Their acts are against the scriptural injunctions and are not beneficial for the people in general. Actually, they act out of pride, false ego, lust, and attachment for material enjoyment. By such activities, not only is the combination of material elements of which the body is constructed disturbed, but also the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself living within the body. Such unauthorized fasting or austerities for some political end are certainly very disturbing to others. They are not recommended in the Vedic literature. A demoniac person may think that he can force his enemy or other parties to comply with his desire by this method, but sometimes one dies by such fasting. These acts are not approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he says that those who engage in them are demons. Such demonstrations are insults to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are enacted in disobedience to the Vedic scriptural injunctions. The word achetasaha is significant in this connection. Persons of normal mental condition must obey the scriptural injunctions. Those who are not in such a position neglect and disobey the scriptures and manufacture their own way of austerities and penances. One should always remember the ultimate end of the demoniac people as described in the previous chapter. The Lord forces them to take birth in the wombs of demoniac persons. Consequently, they will live by demoniac principles, life after life, without knowing their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If, however, such persons are fortunate enough to be guided by a spiritual master who can direct them to the path of Vedic wisdom, they can get out of this entanglement and ultimately achieve the supreme goal. Ashastra vihitangoram tapyante yetapo janaha dambahankara sanyukta kamaraga balanvitaha kaishayanta shariristam bhutagramam achetasaha mam chaivanta shariristam thanvidyasura nischayan. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. So, I guess I have to say that I'm getting a little better. And things here are getting a little better too. So that's good news. Devotees should always be trying to get a little better, even when they think they're already better. Because we're never good enough to serve Krishna perfectly. There's always room for improvement, both in our own hearts and collectively. Of course, the first place to work is in our own hearts. And then, by Krishna's arrangement, we will get an opportunity to help others make our collective attempt to become Krishna conscious more perfect. This divisions of faith is significant. It's the 17th chapter, just before the perfection of renunciation, where Krishna gives his concluding statement, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Just surrender to me fully, and masuchaha, you have nothing to worry about, I will protect you. That is the ultimate instruction of all religious principles, all religious rituals, all spiritual activities. The ultimate is to surrender everything to the Supreme. Now, it is hard to surrender anything to anybody, what to speak of surrendering everything to anybody. And in this case, surrendering everything to the Supreme, who we've been taught in our culture is dead. God is dead. God is imagination. Someone made a joke. What is the difference between Santa Claus and God? Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas. And the answer was, Santa Claus is real. Well, God is dead in the minds and hearts of many people because they have rejected him. And he says, ye yata mam prapadyante tangstataiva vajami aham. This verse is also very, very important in the Bhagavad Gita. We should understand that the deities of Krishna are Krishna as much as we want them to be Krishna. If we see stone or metal, they'll be stone or metal to us. As much importance as we give to the temple will give us that much benefit. As much importance as we give to Vaishnava Sangha Association, we will be enlivened and inspired by Vaishnava Association. As much importance as we give to our own development to be a kind, gentle, compassionate, loving person, we will receive love and compassion, kindness. So it's up to us. It always was, and it always will be. Srila Prabhupada came to remind us of things that we have forgotten. Being covered by false ego, being covered by attachment, raga, dvesha, vimuktaistu, vishayan, indriyaischaram, atma, atma vasyar vidyatma prasadam adigacchati. The mercy, the prasadam of the Lord can be received by someone who is free from attachment and aversion. Someone, Krishna tells Arjuna the same thing right in the very beginning, that yudyasva vigata jara, free from false ego, free from lethargy. Fight, do your duty, work, be happy. You will attain perfection, but you work in this consciousness. And we can develop this consciousness in an environment where this pure consciousness is encouraged, where it is taught. We must always remember that this is like a crucible. You know what is a crucible? In chemistry, they have it's a porcelain kind of thing, or it can be metal too, and they mix chemicals, or even in the kitchen sometimes you have, when you're mixing spices, whatever. But a crucible, this is a place where we will, as Narad Muni explained, as the Lord explained to Narad Muni, I am not in Vaikuntha, naham tishtami Vaikunthe, yoginam hridayeshu. I'm not in the hearts of yogis. I'm in that atmosphere, I'm in that place where the devotees are glorifying me, where they're chanting my names, where they're enthusiastically free from fault finding, free from impurities, they're chanting. So we have to create that atmosphere, we have to live in that atmosphere, and we'll see how our own devotional qualities will grow. We all know how depressing it is when devotees start to become negative, become fault finders, become indisciplined, become weak, don't follow the instructions of the acharyas, don't follow the instructions or principles laid down in Bhagavad Gita. It's not a good atmosphere. You don't see anyone in society developing good qualities. People aren't becoming clean. They're just as dirty as they always were. They're not becoming compassionate. They're not becoming truthful. The legs of Dharma They're not. They're broken, all the legs. We want to raise up the bull of Dharma. So we have to understand mental concoction will not help us. It never has. I know many artists. Krishna consciousness attracts a lot of artists because Krishna is so beautiful. And there's so much culture and art behind the tradition for thousands of years. Dancing and music and paintings and every aspect of art. So we attract many artists, singers, so many musicians have come to Krishna consciousness, George Harrison. And artists, they like to express themselves. You know, my feelings I want to express. But they will find more pleasure by using their talents to follow Krishna's pure devotee, just like Srila Prabhupada instructed the artist how to paint. And it was a discipline, because for many of them, they were free-form artists. There was little discipline to their art. Discipline suppresses true artistic feeling. It's got to flow. All right, it's got to flow, but you've still got to have certain, I mean, there's got to be some product. There's got to be some form. You can't have essence without some form. Essence doesn't exist beyond form. It exists within form. So, what to speak of artists, all of us have this tendency to be free form, or especially unsurrendered. We feel that inhibits us. It keeps our real expression, the real expression of ourselves, contained or cramped or stifled. But it's not true. You take guidance from Krishna and you'll discover unlimited beauty. You'll discover unlimited variety. You'll discover unlimited paths which your mind can take to serve Krishna, because you've captured the real essence by following the form. Just like it is a rule that to learn any discipline, the first thing you should, before you can become expert, expert means unique, before you can become unique, you have to become totally conformist. You follow the rules expertly, and when you're expert at following the rules, you've mastered the technique, then you break all the rules, then you become very famous, very wonderful, very unique. So there are many ways in which you can perform austerities and penances to serve Krishna. But first of all, you have to learn, what does Krishna want? If Krishna, the classic example, if Krishna wants a glass of water, and right away you think, no, I think I'll bring him a milkshake. I like milkshakes. He must like it too. He's asked you for water. You do exactly as he tells you to do. If Krishna tells you to chant Hare Krishna, you don't know how much austerity is there in chanting Hare Krishna, frankly. It's not just chant Hare Krishna. It's chant Hare Krishna without offenses. Bahu janma kari yadi shravana kirtana. You can go on chanting Hare Krishna bahu janma, so many lifetimes. You won't make progress unless you learn to follow the rules and regulations. One of which is no cell phones in the temple. Is that a cell phone? That's all right. It's a good rule. I like that. I like that saying there. That's great. Did you have a problem with cell phones in the temple? The Indian Parliament had to have some sign, because when cell phones came out, it was a sign of prestige. If you didn't have someone calling you on a cell phone in the middle of Parliament, Parliament's in session, all these cell phones are going off, you know. You just weren't an important person. We have to... It's a price. The price that we pay, the austerity that we perform, is to follow exactly as we are taught, and there's no greater austerity. It's, if I concoct my own austerity, I'll stand on my head for, you know, 30 years or something. It's probably easier because I get all this inspiration. Look how great a yogi I am. Look how wonderful I am. I'm getting all these siddhis and everybody's coming to take my picture and put me in the paper. You don't know. They think you're stupid for standing on your head. It's interesting here. Krishna, quite graphic. People who perform unauthorized austerities, they're described as demons who are impelled by lust and attachment. Now, most of us, and I've actually been to the Himalayas and been to remote areas of the Himalayas, and I've seen all these sadhus, and I've been to two Maha Kumbha Melas, one in 77 and one in 89. I've seen all the Naga Babas and the, you know, the people with, you know, nails in their eyes. And of course, some punk rockers do that too, but I've seen people do all kinds of austerities. And I don't think it's anything that any of us would like to do. I don't think it's anything that any of us could do. These people, they live in the Himalayas naked in the winter. And, you know, you may think it's cold here in Slovenia because it's, you know, -5 Celsius or something. In the Himalayas, it's, you know, -20 or -30 Fahrenheit, which is -60 or -70 Celsius. It's cold. And they live there naked. They actually do it. It's not a joke. All they do is they wear some ash and they smoke some hash. That part you might like. But... They literally, they wear white ash on their body. It helps to keep them warm somehow or other. But they perform a lot of austerities, and they get some... They wouldn't do it if they weren't getting some taste. Whatever people are doing, they're getting some kind of taste from it. They don't know the difference between taste in the mode of ignorance taste in the mode of passion, and taste in the mode of goodness, and taste in the mode of transcendental goodness. All they know is that they're getting some taste, and they think that they're doing the right thing. But Krishna's explaining here, and Prabhupada used to compliment the hippies. He would say they have good qualities. They're renounced. They've renounced their houses. They've renounced their cars, their families. A lot of hippies in America came from wealthy families. They weren't poor kids. Poor kids were too busy working. They couldn't afford to be hippies. It was mostly the middle, upper middle, and upper class kids who were hippies. But their renunciation degraded them because they didn't have any knowledge. When some of them got knowledge, they became Hare Krishnas. So our austerity is to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds a day. Actually it's an expression now, and I don't know if it's here, but it's in America, maybe the UK, I don't know, 24/7. You have that here, 24/7. When something is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, they call it 24/7. A lot of stores are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like 7-Eleven, whatever. So we're chanting Hare Krishna's 24/7, 365. Every day. That's a big commitment. That is an austerity, because our speakers get up and they get in front of you and they say, oh, chanting is so sweet. Oh, it's nectar. And, oh boy, chanting must be really nice when you get chanting. When's that sweetness going to come that he's talking about? You know, it's been 5 years now. Well, you get some taste, of course you do. But it's only a tiny, tiny drop. The ocean we have yet to experience. Rupa Goswami tells us, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tells us, Srila Prabhupada, we saw in him, you've only heard some of the stories about Prabhupada's manifestation of siddhi, of ecstasy. There are many stories, actually. Prabhupada never emphasized it, but that ecstasy is there. But sometimes we don't have the strength of mind. Our culture doesn't give us patience. We want everything instant, and we're lusty. Not our fault. Our bodies were born in lust. Our parents didn't chant their 50 rounds. We were born in lust. So it's hard. I know one boy. It's interesting. Actually, he's a disciple of Gaura Govinda Maharaj. Wonderful man. He's in New York. And his whole family, he, his wife, wonderful devotees. All his sons. He's got about 4 or 5 sons, all big black devotees, mardanga players. They come during the week. They cook in the temple. They do all kinds of nice service. And his relatives, devotees, some devotees. And he was telling me how every day his mother would pray for him. She was a very devout Catholic. And his mother prayed for him and prayed for him, that he would become a devotee of the Lord. I don't think it was Krishna, but same difference. But that I wasn't born in that, you know. I was born out of a bottle of whiskey on a Saturday night. You know? So. It was hard to overcome those sun scars. It's austere. But I do know one thing. I've learned one thing. This material world is no place for a gentleman. You can't find honest people. You can't find lasting relationships. You can't find purity. You can't find truthfulness. You can't find compassion. There's no compassion. No place. And this is the only way that you're going to make progress, is to try very, very hard to follow the proper austerity which has been designed for us. Taking into consideration, you know, Ayurveda, people talk a lot about Ayurveda, that Ayurveda recommends this for this disease and that for that. There's no such thing as a fixed formula in Ayurveda. An expert Ayurvedic doctor sees the patient and then he prescribes exactly a unique formula for that patient, taking into account his mentality, his strength of character, his ability to follow. He won't just give him so many restrictions. I know one doctor who's quite popular in Bombay, and he's got a sheet, and everybody passes out this sheet to everybody who comes to him. You know, this is Ayurvedic diet. And know this. What can I eat? Well, let's see. You can have carrots. Pumpkin. You can have pumpkin. Pumpkin is like what pregnant women in Bengal eat. Yes. Because it's so mild. But a real Ayurvedic doctor, and I've met some, they'll even tell you, you can take some, don't take too many chilies, but take some. You know. They'll tell you what you need to hear so that you can follow and make progress. So this process of Krishna consciousness has been designed for us, and there are different levels. It's not a competition. There's no question of pride. We don't want pride. We want to cut down manitam adambitam. We want to cut down false pride, false ego. So you follow, you try, you do your best. There's a standard for living in the ashram. That's fair. But just because you can't live in the ashram doesn't mean you can't be a devotee. You can be a devotee, and we love you, and you do your best, and we'll encourage you. You can't be a brahmachari. Okay, you be a grihastha. It's all right. So many of our acharyas were grihasthas. Some were naishtika brahmacharis, fewer. Prabhupada said, if you want to do business, if you have an office in the stock exchange, you want to sell, there's a buyer there immediately. You know stock exchange? You have stock building here. You want to buy, there's someone who will sell you immediately. If your office is down the road, it's a little harder. But you can still do business. So for those who live in the ashram, they're right there. It's intense. Every grihastha should have an ashram in his house. Some people think that grihastha life is a license for unlimited sense gratification. It's not. The government, how many of you drive? How many of you have driver's license? Yeah? You have driver's license? You think you can drive 300 kilometers an hour? Police pulls you over and says, oh, I've got license. You got license to drive at 120 kilometers an hour, not 300. You got license to control your senses, but your home should be a place where the holy names of the Lord are constantly chanted. Your home should be a place where you're just reading. Actually, I was hearing a lecture where Prabhupada was explaining that, no, I think I heard, hearing and reading, but I get mixed up sometimes. He was saying how in the houses of those householders where guests, it was in the prayers, Aditi is lamenting, and she's been performing some sacrifice, and her husband, what is his name? Kashyapa Muni, she looks very morose and very melancholy, and so he's asking her, have you not properly received guests? He's asking her various questions. Have you not properly received guests in the house? And then Prabhupada goes on to explain that the houses where guests are not properly greeted are like the holes in the field that are inhabited by jackals. Farm, sometimes jackals and snakes and whatever, they dig holes in the ground and live there. So that house is like that because the grihastha has to perform so many duties, especially distribution of prasadam and inviting saintly persons to come to his house to do kirtan. And even though the grihastha may have some knowledge, he has to request the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, you please give me blessing because I know so much. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami said, people call me learned. And he was learned. He knew Persian, he knew Sanskrit, he knew so much. He was Sanatana Goswami, just waiting to manifest. But he said, I'm a fool because I don't know who I am. I have surrendered to living under the Nawab. I have done material work. I have done some. This is what I've done. So although I have so much knowledge, I'm actually a fool. So there's no harm in presenting ourselves in a simple way, in a humble way. I'm a fool. Please give me instruction. Remind me. A Vaishnava is one who, when even seen by others, reminds them of Krishna. So if just seeing a Vaishnava reminds you of Krishna, talking to a Vaishnava, there should be constant glorification of Krishna so that everyone is reminded. Then we'll know how to live. Pravritim cha, navritim cha, jana, navidur, asura. Again, the same thing. The asuras, the demons, they can never know how to live in this world. They'll never make the world a better place. They can have League of Nations, First World War, Second World War, United Nations, 10-point program, 20-point program, 5-year plan. They'll never do it right. Because only Krishna has perfect knowledge. And only Krishna can guide us how to live in his world perfectly. Krishna's Welt. It was a magazine, German magazine. This is Krishna's world. We're just here temporarily. We're being tossed about this way and that way, and it's so funny. We think we're in control. Just like you ride on a roller coaster. I don't know if any of you have experienced a roller coaster. Probably not, right? They have one in France. I don't know, is Disney World still there in France? They have roller coasters. Maybe you have something like it. You get in a little car and shh. No? You have something like that? No? Huh? In the movies. A virtual roller coaster. Okay. The person, you're in the roller coaster, and you're being thrown this way and that way and this way. But you're thinking, oh, it's all under control. This is fun. But if someone told you that the engineer just died of a heart attack and there's no one to stop the car and it may go off the track, you'd get really scared. So we're being tossed about and we think that everything's okay. I got it under control. But yes, there's someone in charge. His name is Yama. And he's waiting for you at the final stop. So it's about time that we put ourselves, our lives are passing by too quickly to be frivolous and foolish and indisciplined. And this is the Hare Krishna movement. So we have to move on now. We have to move forward. If people want to come with us, welcome. Bundurbar. Great. I'm so happy. So happy. Let everybody come. I was in, England. I was talking to one devotee there, very long-standing congregational devotee, hard-working, not him, he and his wife, totally surrendered at any time. They can do long hours of work at the temple. He's got a family, he's got a business, he's got children going to school, something very surrendered, both he and his wife. So he was feeling some disturbance because the so-called advanced devotees, the so-called Prabhupada disciples, were not coming to the temple, were not doing any service, were criticizing, and whenever there was a festival, they were demanding, we need this facility, that facility, and their kids would come, and the parking would be organized, and the kids of these so-called advanced devotees would want some special arrangement, and when they were told no, they would start using four-letter words. And I don't mean exit or other four-letter words. Is it only in English that there are four-letter words, or in Slovenia also? Probably different. I told him, forget it. An advanced devotee is someone who is advancing in serving. That's an advanced devotee. And I swear to God, it was well known when I was a young brahmachari. Prabhupada was, in the early days, he was thinking about taking back people's names. You're initiated, I take back your name. You're not initiated anymore. He was thinking about it. He didn't do it, but he was very critical of people who took vows before the fire, before the deities, before the Vaishnavas, and then took everything very lightly. So we want to offer those people all opportunity to serve. We want to be very nice to them and kind, but if they don't get ready, they don't get on board. They don't have to pay any ticket. The train's leaving. No ticket. You just have to get on board. Very famous song by Aretha Franklin. People get ready. I don't know. We're going to spin our wheels in the snow now. Sometimes you get stuck and you see someone trying to get out of the snow and they push the gas and their wheels turn and they think, oh, I got to push the gas harder and the wheels turn faster. They don't go anywhere. We have to make the temple a nice place. We have to have integrity. A man is as good as his word. We have to be straightforward, no kutinata, no duplicity. We have to be loving. But we have rules and regulations also. So this is austerity to do this. This is austerity. And the rewards are incredible. Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam, because it's transcendental austerity. Tapo Divyam. Other kinds of austerity, it's not authorized and it's not leading towards Krishna. It's leading down and down and down. Repeated birth and death in the demoniac species of life. And we pray for them. It's not that we're not feeling for them, but we can't allow them to drag us down. We have so much good to give the world. We have to give people a chance. Those who want spiritual life. There are very, very few, if any at all, movements. Like Srila Prabhupada's mission, Lord Chaitanya's mission. And it has come in our hands. We are the recipients. We're the torch bearers. We're carrying the fire. We have to be successful for our own selves and for others. If we're not, then someone else will do. We will also fall by the wayside. If you're not going forward, you're going backward. I'm sorry to say, if you're not making even a little progress forward, it can be an inch. It can be a centimeter, centimeter by centimeter. That's all right. There's nothing in between. And this is according to Shastra. This is according to authority. This is according to tradition. This is according to parampara. Sampradaya vihinase mantraste nishpala. Nishpala, no fruit. It may look like something, but it's just pondraka. Pondraka, you know. Krishna, get out of the way. You're an imposter. He put cardboard arms on his body. You know, he wanted to have four arms. He made two cardboard arms. Krishna, all he could do was laugh at him. Who's this joker? Arjuna is really a jerk. Then he just chopped off his head. So there are people out there who are making a show. Don't be bewildered by them. Don't be carried away sentimentally by them. Save yourself. And this is the same Hare Krishna movement that it always has been, coming from Prabhupada, right down the center. And it's austere to follow this path. That's all I can recommend. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Brenda. Srila Prabhupada gives, as usual, the answer that you situate yourself in the mode of goodness and you will know what to do. It's one of Rabindra Sarup's favorite verses from the Bhagavatam, because he really had this problem. He was a liberal religious history major. He was very, you know, in that generation, very liberal, and especially academics, religious academics, they hate fundamentalist fanatics. They're worried about them. We saw some of them in Afghanistan and in Manhattan, too. Pretty far out, you see that place. But anyway, so he asked Prabhupada, because Prabhupada had said that someday devotees may have to fight against the demons. And Rabindra was very scared of that. He wasn't sure how to digest that. Was Prabhupada saying that devotees would take off their dhotis and put it, you know, pick up AK-47s and so he asked Prabhupada, and again Prabhupada said that we will act according to Krishna's direction, and the way we can receive Krishna's direction is to chant nicely our rounds, to follow the four regulative principles, to associate with devotees, to take Krishna prasadam, all of the five principal activities of pure devotional service, and the six things favorable for devotional service. And then Krishna will guide you from within your heart. What is your duty? Of course, your first duty is to chant Hare Krishna and to follow the... If you can do that much, whether you should sew sweaters for the deities or whether you should cook for... or you should go on... that's not a major problem. You first fix yourself in what your duty is in terms of coming to the temple. Why do we come to the temple? Because, well, you know, people say, you ask, and people say, oh, to associate with devotees, to develop love of God. There's so many reasons people give. But the reason we come to the temple is because it's our duty. God is here. It's our duty. Supreme Lord is here. So it's your duty to chant, to read, to follow the process. Then how you should work within Varnashram or whatever, you don't have to decide overnight. You didn't get entangled in the mode of, in a mixture of the mode of passion, ignorance, and goodness overnight. None of us are purely in any particular mode. We're in a mixture of different modes, so it's not easy to know exactly which slot, which compartment we fit into. We have to work with that, but just the basic thing, if you follow the basic things, you'll be stable, you'll be satisfied, and anything you do, the fruits of that should be given for the service of Krishna, whatever it is. You know, whether you sell bananas or you sell baseball caps, you know, that's not so important. Whether you work in the university or whether you dig ditches, maybe you should be working in the university. You shouldn't be digging ditches. It's more your varna to be... But if you're giving everything to Krishna, you're 90% of the way there. You've captured the essence. Now, to improve your own happiness, just like Prabhupada said, that I'm going to teach Varnashram so that the devotees can be happy. It wasn't the first thing he taught when he came to New York in 1966. He didn't say, you know, I've come here to teach you all to be Brahmins and Vaishyas, and didn't even talk about it till the 70s. And even then, he talked, there were morning walks, he gave some guidelines, he encouraged us, but he didn't expect that we would solve that problem overnight. So don't get too tied up in knots in your mind on things that have some relevance and importance but are not the most important things. be established in the basics. If you're fixed up in the basics, then you write a paper on Varnashram Dharma, or you personally consult with people and see and try. You know, if you feel like you should be a brahmana, then try that for a while. If you ask others, how am I doing? And I have these desires. Well, okay, maybe I should be a Vaishya. Or maybe you should just be a Vaishnava. Do whatever you're told to. That's the highest platform. A Vaishnava Vaishya is what we need. Any other questions? Yes, Gargamon.
Krishna was saying in the verse that Paramatma is being tortured by austerity. How is that possible?
You see it all now. You know, we got Paramatma on the rack. I think the only way that Krishna is tortured is by Radharani. Let's say that, for example, that's a hard one to, if you commit suicide, the body becomes no longer is it a suitable place for the soul to reside. Or if you kill someone else, then the soul can no longer reside there. Theoretically, Krishna could make the soul stay there. Krishna could stay there. But on the one hand, of course, obviously Krishna never experiences any kind of inebriety, any kind of disturbance. That is a given. But it's just a manner of speaking. You're causing a disturbance. Now, he's not disturbed, but you're giving cause for disturbance. Just like, for example, in the spiritual world, there's no demons there, but the devotees, the coward boys, they're always afraid of demons. If you went up there and you know, say, hey, look, it says here in the Shastras, no demons, why are you guys worried? They wouldn't hear you because that's the mood there, their fear. So you are causing disturbance. You're torturing Super Soul. He's not tortured, but you're torturing him. Whatever we do, there's many things that we do. Just like, for example, sometimes devotees drive their car. I'm looking for someone there. Devotees drive their car like Krishna will protect me, you know. So we used to have this one devotee, I think I've told you about him before. I won't say his name, but he was the president of St. Louis Temple. Where's Bhavada? This devotee was the president many years ago, 30 years ago. So anyway, before that, we were together in San Francisco, and we would be up late doing book distribution in the nightclub area of San Francisco, where all the nightclubs are and the theaters, and they would have big, long lines of people going, waiting to get their ticket to go into the movie or waiting to get their ticket to see the naked dance show, whatever. And we would, you know, give them a card and get them to make an offering to the Lord. They were very inspired. Those were great days. Anyway.
Incense.
Huh?
Incense,
yeah, we would give a stick of incense. Love and peace, brother. Then, at about 11:45, on the other side of town, there was the musical Hair. And it got out at 12 o'clock, and we had 15 minutes to drive all the way across town so that we could be there when the doors opened and the crowd came out. Because we would really give them incense. And, you know, because the ending scene of Hair is everybody's on stage chanting Hare Krishna, all the actors. And, huh? A lot of them were naked. Avadut. They're chanting. So, to get there, you know, we were all tired, dead tired after, you know, a whole day and a whole night of Sankirtan, late. And so this one devotee who was later on the president of St. Louis, he would drive. And we had this van, and we were all packed, like about 20 devotees in a van. And we were all like this, laid out somewhere. Girls in the back, and boys a little farther in the front. But Muckinlal, he was driving. He was also... very often... or at least it was not uncommon that he would drive the wrong way down a one-way street. And to get out of the way of the cars coming, he would go up on the sidewalk and drive down the sidewalk. So, you know, our mentality was Krishna will protect us. But that's actually nonsense. We should not force. Maybe he will protect you, maybe he won't. I lost at least half a dozen, no less than six, god brothers who died while driving all night long to get to the next town to distribute books. And there were some good devotees lost here in Europe doing the same stupid thing. So maybe Krishna will protect you and maybe he will teach you. But we should not force Krishna to protect us. We should act responsibly, intelligently. Prabhupada said no driving after 9 o'clock when he heard there was a big accident where two devotees were killed and one devotee was very seriously injured. So we should not torture or give any cause for what may appear to be torture to super soul. We want to clean our heart and make our heart just like a lotus flower, so beautiful, so that super soul will come and sit on the lotus of our heart. And we want to keep a lot of dirty things there. And we don't want to... You get the point, right? Yeah.